Jeff, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know, like a podcasting machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Please stand by.
It's the weekend of May 7th, 2005, and you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat, the podcasting machine.
The podcasting machine. This is issue number 12. How you doing, Pat? Good morning.
Good morning to you too, Jeff.
You seem super pumped. What's going on?
Nothing's going on. You ran into the front of my car this morning. That's what's going on.
That was fun. Yeah, we had a little accident. I hope the cars are going to be okay. Hey, before we get off on the show, I wanted to get off on the show. We need to get off on the show before we start the show. Maybe we should get off on the show. Before we start the show, I wanted to just remind everybody, if you like what we're doing here, vote for us on Podcast Alley, and thank you for everybody that has. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Man, oh man, this has been a great week for funny news.
Really?
I don't know if you've noticed it, Pat. There's just so much ridiculous stuff going on. The first thing I wanted to mention, did you happen to catch the Laura Bush joking last Saturday?
No, they were on George Bush. I mean, they were talking about how great she was.
Well, and that's what I thought was funny, because apparently it was funny, and I heard some of the jokes and they were funny, but it was so disingenuous, isn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't mean anything against Laura, because I think she's a pretty classy lady in general, but she didn't write any of those jokes, and in fact, the premise of the jokes was all fake. You know, she doesn't watch Desperate Housewives and stuff.
Right.
So in other words, some joke writer handed her a piece of paper to go deliver to the group. Now, I know politicians use writers, obviously, but normally it's to polish the stuff that they've sort of formulated themselves, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought most of her jokes were very, very funny, but I did sort of think the same thing. Like, she doesn't mean any of that stuff.
I know. But there are some quotes, reaction, both from Democrats and Republicans
on
this,
that
I thought were funny. This is from The Nation's David Corn. He said, "I was wondering what the social conservatives and James Dobson, I don't know who that is, had to say about all these jokes that were laced with sexual innuendo. Not a very family value type speech. I'm not sure I want to explain a lot of these jokes to my 4-year-old. Why the hell would you explain these jokes to a 4-year-old?
I don't know.
That's stupid.
People think that if they can explain things to their kids, that somehow that's how they get validation for their points. So, let me see if my kid agrees with me.
So, am I to understand that this guy would want our society to only utter things that you could explain to a 4-year-old?
Right, yeah. That's exactly it.
That's the stupidest that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Yet another reaction. At least one organization of conservative Christians quickly lashed out at Mrs. Bush's performance,
ooh,
warning that her remarks at the president's expense were a public refutation, is that the way I said it right,
yeah,
of the biblical command that wives should respect their husbands. And then the other thing was, jokes at her husband's expense is another group, accounted to a public emasculation of the president.
Wow.
Pastor Roy DeLong, the statement's author and chair of the group, warns that the First Lady's performance comes at a time when Mr. Bush's manliness is already under attack.
I didn't even know he was a man.
this I think we all pretty much understand, with Shivo and this kind of crap. This is going way overboard. These weird ultra-right Christian, you know, right-wing groups are just out of control. And why are we listening to them?
Well, I heard something on yesterday's news on NPR that made me kind of worried, and that is that they are now opening up law schools where the complete focus is on the Bible. And they look at the Bible, what the Bible says, and they look at the law, and they're trying. The religious right is saying, well, if we want to start winning things, we're going to start winning things by having lawyers that know everything, and they're planning to educate them out the wazoo.
Oh man!
And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm not afraid of that in reality, because just because you know a lot doesn't mean that you're still right.
That's right.
And but it did make me really worried. And the whole purpose of all of these law, these new Christian-based law schools, Jeff, is to bring further apart the separation of church and state, or
get
rid of
those
the separation of church and state.
Damn judges! How dare them get in the way of our system? What a shitty design that was by our founding fathers, wasn't it? To have this judicial branch that's sort of separate from the executive, so that the executive doesn't get out of control. It's just a bad setup.
It's a bad setup.
It was really stupid, and I'm glad they're finally fixing it.
Well, what else do you have?
Well, there's some other things that I'll share later on a kind of a similar theme.
Okay, great. Well, I have something important to talk about, you know, after all of
that. That was not important?
All of that wacky news. I have something way more interesting to talk about.
Oh, there's more wacky news coming up, baby.
All right, well, you can intersperse it in, but I have to get in some important stuff first.
All right.
7-Eleven update.
Boom, boom, boom.
So,
maybe we need some theme music for 7-Eleven, huh?
7-Eleven. 7-Eleven. It's time for that 7-Eleven update.
Well, I went in a couple of days ago, and they now have Kentucky Mint Julep coffee.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That sounds stupid.
Are we getting close to the Kentucky Derby?
Is this today?
Okay. Well, that explains it. Anyway, they have something that, you know, they have a new recipe that uses their Kentucky Mint Julep coffee. You put in 2 shots of vanilla syrup sugar. So I went ahead and tried it out, and it's okay. I didn't love it, but it was okay.
It just sounds so dorky. But I guess it's fun that they're trying these things, you know?
And the other night I had a redneck dinner.
Redneck dinner? What the heck is that?
Yes, I went to 7-Eleven, and I tried out their new Angus steak burger hot dog.
Man, their marketing department is working overtime, aren't they?
That the Angus steak burger hot dog is looks like a hot dog, but it's kind of lumpy and everything. And I think it's hamburger meat. I don't really know.
Sounds yummy.
But to accompany my Angus steak burger hot dog, I got a what I call a chronic inebriant beer. One of those, you know, 1 pint, 8 ounces beers that's like less than, you know, it's 2 beers, but for the cost of 1.25 beers.
Right.
That's what I had for dinner. And I will have to say the beer was good.
Yeah.
The Angus steak burger, not so good.
No.
I don't recommend it.
Wait a minute. I guess I'm out of the times. They sell beer at 7-Eleven?
They do near the one near my house.
Okay. And for those not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's very spotty around here where you can buy liquor. It's not even by city, I think. It's by some weird jurisdiction deal.
And today, you know, who are those guys? The Motley Fool guys? They've got a show on today.
The financial guys.
The Motley Fool. They're going to do a show today with the CEO of the Southland Corporation, 7-Eleven. I got to listen to that one, baby.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we should get him into the podcasting community.
We should. I get to interview him first.
I still think we need to call these guys and, you know, get 7-Eleven to sponsor our program. I mean, we're doing free advertising.
Well, I mean, I'm doing it from, I'm not doing this to get paid. I'm doing it because
no.
I believe in 7-Eleven.
She believes in the product.
I love the 7-Eleven. And by the way, Jeff, on my way down here to your house, I noticed that you are not in a 7-Eleven rich Target area.
Really?
No.
What is a 7-Eleven rich Target area?
Well, I have at least 4 on my way from my house to work. And I know where they all are, baby.
Okay. Well, I've got one just down the corner.
Yes. You only have one, though.
No, I've got one on the other side, too, at Lakewood.
That's really?
That's maybe 7 blocks away.
Oh, okay. Well, I retract that.
They're closer
comment.
Than you think.
7-Eleven. Saint Kevin. 7-Eleven. Saint Kevin. It's time for that 7-Eleven update.
All right. One more crazy thing out of the news, if I may. Actually, that's not quite exactly true. The Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
And this is very quick. I read the CNN thing. First of all, the story is just so silly, right? We sort of talked a little bit about it last week. And what I thought, what caught my eye on this was the CNN story where this the assistant special agent is saying, she did not, however, offer an outright apology. And then he goes on, she was somewhat remorseful for what she had done. She didn't come right out and apologize. She didn't feel like she had done anything wrong. But she did, in her way, make somewhat of an apology. And finally, okay, he goes on one last statement here. Asked whether Willa Banks had expressed sorrow for her actions. Porter, another guy, said, "Sometimes I'm not sure she has a capability for remorse." He continued, "I'm not even sure she really understands the magnitude of what happened to her." So I read all this, Pat, and I don't know what you think about that, but I read between the lines, this woman is a self-absorbed bitch.
I think so.
And if I am the guy, I would... As long as the media's attention, I'd be all nice and saying, oh, yeah, we still are supportive. And then I would run the hell away.
Well, my mom and I talked about that. And she did, you know, she was very blunt about it. She basically said, if I ever did something like that, she would have beat the shit out of me.
And meanwhile, the community is, oh, we're wrapping our arms around her. We want to support her. Give me a freaking break. Wacko.
Wacko.
Okay, Pat, right now we're going to play a game.
What's that game, Jeff?
Okay, we're going to ask the listener, did we go away or did we not? So you know how some podcasters, they'll
hear the doorbell ring.
Hear the doorbell ring and they'll say, I'm going to go get the doorbell. We're back. And okay, did we just go away or not?
Exactly. Did we just go away or not?
All right, let's try that one more time. So, Pat, I'm going to go get the phone right now.
Okay.
Did we come back? Did we go away or not?
That's right. Y'all tell us. Did we go away or not?
Because I can't tell. All right.
Good enough. Hey, well, you know, Jeff, the story you were talking about just a minute ago before we played our game was basically the way I interpreted what you said. One of the things that came that I thought of was the guy saying she can't really tell whether or not she did something was bad.
Right.
Right? So... Another thing that's been in the news lately has been the courts martial of Lindy England, the 22-year-old Kentucky woman who was...
Shout out to all our friends in Kentucky.
Shit. Cut this part out, please.
All right.
I'm going to say a bunch of stupid things, so you got to cut it out, Jeffy Jeff. Jeff has a small...
Did we go away or did we come back? What do you think?
Okay, the Kentucky woman who is on trial for the war crimes atrocities,
and
whatever.
A shout out to all our Kentucky listeners.
Anyway, basically, you know, people are saying, well, she didn't really know right from wrong because she's sort of this poor white, they didn't say white trash, but they might as well have just said that. This poor white trash
girl doesn't
really know.
It's another one of those between the lines kind of thing, huh?
And I'm thinking, I don't think that just because you're poor white trash, you can't tell what's right or what's wrong. I think most people know what's right or what's wrong.
But not if you're poor white trash.
Yeah, I mean,
that's no excuse.
It's no exactly.
We all know what's right and wrong.
It is no excuse, and I just wanted to scream at the newscaster when I heard him say that.
It was you wanted to, then did you?
No.
Oh, I often scream at the newscaster.
Every new boy that she meets, they don't know the real surprise. Here she comes again. She's dancing in the star skies. Here she comes again. She's dancing in the starry skies. I kinda like the way she dips. Cause she my best friend's girl.
Well, Pat, the other thing that happened in the news is Tony Blair was reelected for the third time.
I know. It was amazing. I really didn't think he was going to win.
Really?
Right. I thought there was a possibility, and I was crossing my fingers that he wouldn't get elected.
Well, I've got a little clip on something that I thought was kind of funny. Let me see if I can get it up.
Debated in a BBC town hall forum called Question Time, where the studio audience got to ask questions of the candidates.
This is from The Daily Show a couple nights ago.
But it's slightly different than the American town hall meetings you're used to seeing. See if you can tell the difference.
If you weren't fraudulent, you're grossly negligent, and for that you should be resigning anyway.
Okay, that one was Britain. See if you can see which one this is.
I'm very happy to have you as a president.
Now,
That one was ours. Okay, let's try another one.
That is a lie. You lie to this country, and that's why we can't support you at the following election.
That was Britain. Do one more.
First of all, I want to commend you for taking on this monstrous task.
That was us. Let's do another pair. First right. one.
This is Bush walking in. You need the visual here.
Second one.
This is Blair walking in. There's a couple more here.
Did you spot the difference? The difference is the British audiences have accents. Even the evening's moderator took the Prime Minister to task.
Isn't that saying, not that you lied, but that you exaggerated, you over-egged, you misled, you sailed a bit close to the wind?
You gherkin the skivvies. You were two oxen short of a panther's nest, eh? Sausage and bacon, no? How would Blair respond to the criticism? I'm going to guess he's going to give a little bit of the shuck and jive, perhaps the adamant denial.
I totally understand why some people feel that this was the wrong decision to take. I'm not saying there haven't been mistakes made and things for which I have to take responsibility.
I don't understand their system at all.
All right, that's it. That was from The Daily Show. I thought that was funny, but what I wanted to get from that is, why is it Bush and is it the way that our politics are going that we only have to have nice people talking at these type of town hall meetings? You know, you watch British, their parliament or whatever, and they're arguing back and forth.
Standing up, screaming.
And I wonder if this is a trend in our politicians. I know Bush kind of started it, and I have a theory on this.
Let's hear it.
Well, this really isn't an anti-Bush thing. It's more like every president has their things that they're bad at, and Bush isn't all that good at confrontations. So maybe it's just the Bush administration handlers say, you know, we're not going to put him in that situation, and maybe this will change once there's a new president. But I fear that may not be it, and that it's just a bad trend, and we're going to get all this, oh, you're such a great president. First of all, I wanted to tell you how wonderful, how handsome you are. Anyway,
because being handsome means you'll be a better leader for this country.
And you know what? I feel like I could drink a beer with you.
And if I can drink a beer with you, you can run my country and decide all the important things, and you don't need input from me.
Absolutely. And another thing that's bugging me about this is you get all his people, all the administration people on the Meet the Press and all these shows, and you all say, well, Bush's plan for Social Security, Bush's plan for the taxation thing. And I hate that. You know, and again, this is not a conservative versus liberal thing. If the next president is Democrat and his White House people say the same thing, I'm just going to be just as mad. What I want to hear is the president believes Social Security is really important, and he put the best minds with all kinds of different notions and ideas together to lead a discussion, and he's going to come up with the best thing for the country. That's what I want to hear. Am I so wrong?
No, I don't think you're so wrong, but there are a lot of people that think that's too many words to say.
But I don't want to hear Bush, or again Clinton for that matter, one guy sitting in his office working on a tax plan. I don't want that.
Well, but maybe, you know, I think the implication, of course, is that it's not his plan. We all know that somebody
else
put it together.
I know. It's just the way they say it.
Because he's not doing anything, quite frankly. He's on vacation all the time. But, you know, speaking of vacation, my mom, I was talking to my mom about the Pope, of course, and she said, oh, well, you know, he went to Castel Gandolfo to check out the vacation home of the Pope. That's the one in Italy.
Right.
And I'm like, well, of course he did. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, Mom, the guy's German. Germans have more vacation than anybody in the world. Just because he's the Pope doesn't mean he doesn't go on vacation. The number one order of business for a German Pope would be, where am I going on vacation?
That's a good
point. Of
course,
he probably didn't say it with that kind of accent.
And a shout out to our German listeners. We love you.
Well, you know, Jeff, after on Sunday, I had an It's Just Lunch date.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a date that I really kind of fought hard with It's Just Lunch people on, because the guy was 46, and I did not want to go out with a guy older than me.
Right. We talked a little bit about this at the last show.
Right, right. So I thought this is, I'm going to just tell you what happened last week. I thought I was supposed to meet him at 12:30. No, I was supposed to leave at 12:30, and I look at my watch at 2 minutes to 12, and I all of a sudden realize I'm supposed to be there at 12:30, and I'm not ready at all.
Oh, no.
So luckily, I didn't have to take a shower, didn't have that much to do with my hair, but I got ready the whole nine yards and then started to leave. And as I got onto Marsh Lane, I think I was thinking, I got to hurry because I don't have that much time to get there. I got stopped by the police for speeding.
Oh, no.
And on top of it all, she stops me and she says, oh, well, you don't have a license plate on the front of your car. And I'm like, but I got the license plate in my trunk. I said, oh, it's because I'm a girl and I couldn't figure out how to get it on the front of my car. You know, it might have worked with the male policeman.
Right.
But she's looking at me like, oh, yeah, I don't really care
about that.
Don't
make us women look dumb.
And I'm trying to convince her not to give me a citation for that. But no, she gives me a citation for that, too.
Oh, no.
So I get there to the restaurant. I'm a little bit pissed off because I'm late, and now I got like over $200 worth of fines to pay.
Right.
I get in there and the guy is, he wasn't ugly, but he looked old. And I was so bummed. The date lasted about an hour and 40 minutes and he was boring.
Really?
Boring. And I've decided that I think boring is the worst thing a person can be. I can't fathom it. It just made me want to cry. And then at the end, okay, so this happens. I think I had something that was maybe about $12. I don't know what he had.
All right.
So the bill comes, and he takes out some money to put it into the folio and leaves it on the table.
Right.
And I'm thinking he's paying for me, too, because every other guy that I've gone out on one of these It's Just Lunch Day, even though they tell you it's Dutch, every man has paid and never acts, you know, remotely nonplussed about having to pay.
I can speak as a guy, we're so used to it, we don't even think it.
Well, I even talked to my brother, Chris, about it, and he said a man should pay even under those circumstances.
Most of us don't even think twice. Yeah.
So the waiter comes by to pick up the folio, and the guy says, oh, no, we're not ready yet. And I'm thinking, well, that's a little peculiar because I saw him put money in there.
Yeah.
He comes by a second time and says the same thing. Oh, no, we're not ready yet. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm supposed to pay.
No.
So I'm like, okie dokie, baby. I pull out my wallet and I put the credit card down. And he actually says to me, do you just want to split it? I'm like, oh, yes, I just want to split it.
I just want to split.
I just want to split.
So he's not so good looking. He's not so young. He's boring and he's cheap.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great date for you.
Well, I did give the feedback to the It's Just Lunch people and I did tell them, this is the worst date you've set me up on, and it's almost as if you've not listened to any of my feedback, and I would have preferred you telling me what you want, Pat, we don't have, and we'd just rather give you your money back.
You know, this to me, Pat, and this is actually serious. This is a serious note to It's Just Lunch. This system is not working for you. They're not... Ideally, the dates would get better and better and better as time goes by, as they get to know you and your preferences, and they see how you react to the guys that they set them up with. They're completely and utterly failing, and we cannot recommend It's Just Lunch.
No, I told her I couldn't recommend it, and she said that she was going to have her director call me, and she hasn't called me yet.
Did you tell her that we shape opinion for quite a few Dallas and otherwise worldwide listeners?
No, I haven't told her, but
I think you should pull that card out and get your money back or get more dates.
Yeah, well, I'm losing it, but I've got a new way to find the perfect man for me.
Ooh.
And let me tell you what it is. At 7-Eleven.
No, it's just 7-Eleven.
It's just 7-Eleven. I was chit-chatting with one of the clerks there. She's 28, 4 kids. She's an immigrant.
Right.
She asked me, are you married? No. Do you have kids? No. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I've got some friends. So now the 7-Eleven girl is going to hook me up with some of her friends.
Excellent. Excellent.
I can't wait to report on that.
Now, you should, like, you know, if you meet somebody at 7-Eleven that digs NPR, I think you should just get married. Drag them to the altar.
I'm giving up. I'm going to go to the nunnery soon, I think. The non-speaking nunnery.
Sounds good. Can I sign up? Nuns. God. Am I being politically incorrect again?
One
Dang.
Time at nun camp?
There were lots of invitations. I know you sent me some, but I was waiting for the miracle, for the miracle to come.
Well, Pat, the other thing that has been all a buzz on Podcast Alley, and really in the podcasting community, have you heard of this thing called Pod Show?
No, okay. At all.
Which is actually good for this show, because I want to get your reaction of it. You don't, and this isn't a fault of you. Pat brings all these things about real life to the show, and I tend to bring the nerdy stuff like Pod Show. So it's a cool balance. Well, what's going on is Adam Curry, you know, our pod father, the dynamic one, always looking for these different business models. He has, some people in the Podcast Alley community say, undercover overnight. He has silently signed up a number of partners to help him produce a four-hour show on satellite radio. And it's going to start the 13th of May, so coming up next week, I guess.
Okay, what's the show going to be on?
It's going to be podcasts.
4 hours?
He's going to put different podcasts on there. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know. You're not a big Daily Source Code listener. I listen to him. So he's going to put some of his mashups up there. He's going to put promos up there. We'll probably send in a promo and all that kind of stuff. But the
Is there a scandal associated with this?
The scandal is there. No one's really saying it, but I get the impression that a lot of other podcasters on Podcast Alley are feeling dissed because they weren't selected. They're partners, and everything is sort of, it's very secretive, but their partners include like Yeast Radio, Dawn and Drew, a couple of the radio of the music shows, Rock and Roll Geek Show and Accident Hash, and another podcast called The Gilmore Gang, which apparently is a podcast that stopped 2 months ago. And so no one knows the deal, but it's also actually Adam even said on his show that some people didn't take the deal. So I don't know, like Dawn and Drew, what are they going to do? Are they going to develop exclusive content for this for the satellite and then other content for their podcast? I don't know. Apparently they got some money. I don't think it's quit the day job money. I think it's buy a new mic type money. But again, no one really knows. And my feeling, I don't know. I want to get your feeling. My feeling on it is I could care less.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to you talk, and I'm thinking, this is so high school. It sounds like we're a bunch of little kids saying, well, I want to be in that club. Why am I picked in that club? I'm just as good.
I know, but the good news is our good friend Chris Rockwell was selected to be a partner. He's going to kind of help develop some sort of PodSafe music network, which I think is cool. It's good for Chris. You know, who knows what it means.
But. What does PodSafe music mean?
PodSafe music is music that you can play on your podcast without having to worry about like the RIAA and other associations. Like my music that I create would be PodSafe music. In other words, it's crappy music. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Your music is good.
Oh, you're so sweet. So anyways, I guess my thing is I don't really much care. It doesn't mean that we other podcasters, you know, can't stop doing podcasts. We're going to continue on. What is satellite radio? Are satellite radio listeners the kind that are going to go onto the net and look for other podcasts? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're just a totally different kind of listener. You know, it's fun. It's just all good fun.
Well, there are probably a lot of people out there that are savvy about satellite music, satellite radio.
Right, absolutely.
I'm just not. I don't know that much about it.
I'm not that into it. It's just channels. I mean, you know.
As you know, I don't even have cable TV.
But in 10 years, you will have satellite. So anyways, it's fun to watch. And I don't mean to, I mean, Podcast Alley people aren't coming out and saying, well, I wanted to be selected. There's just this sort of undertow that I'm sort of getting of the ones that weren't selected. And by the way, Pat, we were not contacted.
Well, you know what? I'm going to sleep with Adam Curry and we'll be on that show, baby.
All right. Yes.
I don't care if he's married.
I want to be on satellite. I want to be a satellite star.
Oh, I'm just kidding, by the way. Don't be yelling at me. I care if he's married.
He is married to a really cool woman who he had her on his show once. She used to be a singer. Well, she still is a singer. A really nice voice. Anyways.
Well, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares?
I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Nothing, everything for two. Doing everything.
Hey, we did something fun last night, didn't we?
We did, actually. We did. We saw a local band. Let me see if I can get this straight. My coworker's husband is the bass player, and actually a really kick-butt bass player, for this band called Michael Celadon. He's a young kid, about 22 years old. We saw him at the Liquid Lounge. What did you think?
I thought they were good. They were much better than I expected them to be. And you know what? I liked the warm-up band,
yeah.
And I thought they were good.
I thought they were good, too.
Well, but hang on. Because as soon as Michael Celadon came on, I thought the warm-up band looked more amateur.
Got it.
So it was that comparison factor that made me change my opinion of the first band.
Oh, very cool.
But,
very cool.
The lead singer, he was so good-looking.
You know, it's funny because Serena, my office mate, had told me, his pictures just don't do him justice. He's really good looking.
And oh, my
God. Of course, I can't judge those kind of things very well, but
there's
the expert.
He had black hair and blue eyes and was just... black hair, blue eyes? Did I say that right? Yeah. He was just so good looking. He's the type of guy that is so good looking that you can't look at him in the eyes because... It effectively is staring.
Kind of reminded me a lot of me in my younger years, you know?
Did you even have blue eyes, Jeff?
No, but...
In your younger years, you did.
In my younger years, I did. No, I think he's really talented. Now, apparently the story is that there are a couple record company executives that came down to Dallas. I'm using my fingers in one of these quotation things with a contract. You know, I don't know about all that. I tell you what, one thing, he's not only is very talented, he really seems to write songs well, but he's only 22 years old, and I know his best years ahead of him, so we kind of wish him luck. I think he's pretty
also
cool.
He also had good on-stage charisma, I thought.
I thought the exact same thing. He really, really
he seemed
got
comfortable
into the crowd.
And
yeah.
Very, very natural.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, somebody else who he kind of reminded me of, not in the style of his music, though, was Chris Isaak.
Yeah.
I've seen Chris Isaak about three times. He's such a great performer.
Oh, so I've never seen, I like his music, but I don't think I've seen him perform.
And he's very, very funny, too. I think the way he weaves some of the stories that he says when he goes from one song to the other song is very, very clever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he sometimes does that Elvis Presley, not Elvis Presley stuff, but I mean, he'll wear some really outrageous costumes, which make me think of Elvis Presley. And he's also a very good looking man.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All the girls, I remember when he came out, all the girls were all over him.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. So anyway, if you get a chance to check it out, we'll put a link on the website, Michael Celadon Band. It's worth checking out, and he may be the next big thing.
How about tonight? How about tomorrow? How about forever? And every day after? How about tonight? How about tomorrow? How about you?
Oh, speaking about the next big thing, just real fast, I wrote a kind of a funny email to CC Chapman, who's the Accident Hash podcast owner, and he's also been one guy selected by Adam Curry to help run some of the PodSafe music stuff. And I said, you know, I love his show, Accident Hash, great show. He always plays like, this band is unsigned. They can't believe they're unsigned and stuff. And I wrote back to him, kind of in jest. I just said, you know what? As a listener, I mean, part of me as a musician would say, well, yeah, we want to be signed. But as a listener, I don't care so much. I don't care if a band gets signed or not. I'm really here to listen to new music. And if some band doesn't make it, doesn't get signed, we all know there's huge talent that's not signed. As long as they're making compelling music, I don't care if they're signed or not. And if they go away, you know what? Somebody else is going to come up that's just as equally talented and awesome. So... he just kind of wrote, he can't obviously write back and say, yeah, I agree with you, because part of his shtick is trying to promote this music, right? But he wrote back just kind of a funny reply.
Well, you know, sometimes we talk about professors and stuff like that at, you know, who write scientific stuff. I think from now on we start saying, I can't believe he's not a tenured professor.
Can you believe he's not tenured?
I'm sure all our listeners will, you know, be waiting for that tidbit of information.
Oh, boy. Hey, Pat, just real fast, go over and listen to www.illinois.net. Ellen, I contributed a little thing on songwriting to help NASA Janet write a song, and I think their show is coming out today, so I have no idea how it's coming out. I got, like, you know, one day warning to do this, so I put something together real fast. It's really dorky, but hopefully other people put something together equally as dorky. So go give it a listen.
I have one thing to say about that, Jeff.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're not signed.
And as the listeners, do you care?
Well, you know, yesterday, Jeff, this is a, you know, we did talk earlier at the very beginning of the show about how the fact that you backed up into my car.
Yeah.
And you dented my license plate.
Yes.
Which I had to have the license plate put on the front of my car because I got that citation going on the It's Just Lunch Day.
Right.
Well, yesterday.
It all revolves back around on this show.
It all comes around. Yesterday, I went up to have them put the license plate on. And the Saab people, I have a Saab, the Saab people are so nice, you know, and I told the guy, I said, the policewoman told me you'd give me something that said you'd put it on. And he looked at me like, what am I supposed to give you? And I'm like, I don't know. She said you were going to give me something. So he types up this nice letter on Saab letterhead, and he gives it to me. And I'm all happy about that. But, you know, this is revolving. What happened is after we left Saab, we went to Costco. And right. Then we went to your office.
Yes, you did.
It was fun seeing your office, Jeff.
It was fun.
But I had a great experience at your office. I don't think I shared it with you yet.
No, you didn't.
I went to the bathroom in your office.
Ooh.
Not in your office. In the toilet.
I thought it was smelling funny after you guys left.
The toilet seats in the women's room, I don't know how they're made, but I sat down on that toilet seat and I felt like it would fit my butt so perfectly. I felt like there were gloves holding me up. I loved
You're
that
kidding.
Toilet seat.
Really?
Yes, and I did tell Susan, if every toilet seat just kind of hugged my bottom the way that one did, I would be more inclined to go to the bathroom more often. I hate going to the bathroom, you know.
Wow. I wonder. I'll have to check with the other girls at the office.
Well, I don't know if it's maybe how the size of my butt is just perfectly, because I'm telling you, it wasn't a normal toilet seat.
Huh.
There was something going on. When I sat down, it was like a pair of jeans that fit me perfectly.
I was wondering why you guys were in there for so long. Man, oh man.
I'm planning on coming to your office to go to the bathroom all the time now.
Time to go to the bathroom. Let's go to Jeff's office.
Well, I'm thinking I need to give Chris Rockwell a call because, you know, he's our poop guy.
You know, he's always looking for interesting poop-related topics. And maybe we can say the quest for the perfect toilet. I don't know if he's done that on his show yet.
Well, I'm going to call him up.
All right.
I do know they make toilets that can hold people who weigh 1,200 pounds. Because, you know, I'm not far from that.
Yeah, only about 1,100 pounds away. It's time for your Dallas Minute.
I hate that, your
I don't Dallas. Know. I just think, I don't know why I do that. It's a dorky, but it makes me sound like a radio broadcaster.
No, it makes you, you know, when you go to the basketball games, it's time for your Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, that's where I get it. You're right. Your Dallas. Well, it's not our Dallas Minute.
Well, here's what I feel like saying. If they're my Dallas Mavericks, then why don't I get some of the money that they make?
I want some Mavericks money, baby. I want some Cuban money.
Well, anyway, what's your contribution to the Dallas Minute, Jeff?
Well, you know, there's this hamburger place called the Prince of Hamburgers, and I feel a little bit lousy talking about it because I've never eaten there, but this hamburger place has been around for 76 years on Lemon Avenue. It's been, I guess it's had its heyday in the 50s and 60s with drive-up service, and it was the place to go. It's closing up shop, and I just sort of thought, you hate to see things like that happen.
Jeff, you know, one time I talked about great places to get hamburgers here in Dallas. That was one of them.
Really?
Yes, I'm so sad it's closing.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh. 76 years in Dallas.
They're probably outsourcing it to India.
I've had one of those Indian burgers.
Well, my Dallas Minute, Jeff, is a couple of days ago I needed to buy some wine, and I went to the Centennial store, which is next to the 7-Eleven, and said hi to the chronic inebriants that were there.
I always enjoy the chat with the chronic inebriants.
The chronically inebriated. Anyway, so I went in there, and I just don't like that. I do not like that alcohol store. It's just, I don't know, it's just not cool enough. So I went back to one of my favorite places to buy wine, Pogo's.
Is that the one on Lovers?
Lovers
by
and
Inwood? Inwood,
yes.
Yeah, that's a great Pogo's there.
So, I don't know if there's more Pogo's, but they have a great selection, and they have sales occasionally, and you can get on their email list, and they'll send you when they've got specials going on. So, if you are looking for a good wine buy-in store, that's a great place.
Now, in defense of Centennial, there is a Centennial in Lakewood that's actually pretty good, but I will have to say, you know, since I don't know that much about wines, but I generally enjoy them, I appreciate a liquor store that has people that walk around and say, can I help you with something, that have a perspective, and that's what Pogos has, and that's why I like it so much as well.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. All right, that is your Dallas Minute. Sorry, I will never do that again.
Well, Jeff, I think that's going to wrap it up for today's show.
That is going to wrap it up. Hey, don't forget to call in our comment line, which is area code 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. Or you can email Pat at...
Pat at thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or you can email me at Jeff and Pat at thisandthatpodcast.com. And please visit our website, www.thisandthatpodcast.com. God, I'm getting sick of saying all this stuff, but you get the notion. Come to our website and have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.